Mean saluting our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Liberty and justice for all.
Right, wonderful. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo.
Here.
Councilmember Daris.
Here.
Councilmember Newsom.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Here.
Mayor Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Well, if you're listening or watching our council meeting this evening, we welcome you. And if you would like to speak by phone during the time set aside for community forum or during public comment for one of the items on the agenda, please call into our Zoom meeting. And that number, I'm going to give it to you here, but you can also find it on the front of the agenda. So if you go to atascadero.org and find tonight's agenda, it's on the front page. The phone number is 669-900-6833. Again, that's 669-900-6833. The meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. Once again, meeting ID 889-2347-9018. And do, when you call, let us know which item that you'd like to speak on. So we need to approve the agenda, but before we do that, our city clerk, Laura Christensen, needs to add an item.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Moreno. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. Hopefully you all can see that. So tonight I did consult with our city attorney in the addition of an item, and government code does allow the city council to take action on items that are not posted on the agenda. But in order to do that, the council needs to make a motion that one determines an emergency situation exists and adds the item to the agenda. According to government code section 549564A1, this defines an emergency as a work stoppage, a crippling activity, or other activity that severely impairs public health, safety, or both, as determined by a majority of the members of the legislative body. As you know, both yesterday and today, we've had storms in the city. As a result of those storms, the city manager, as the director of emergency services, did yesterday declare a proclamation declaring the existence of a local emergency. And in order to continue that local emergency, it is required to be ratified by the city council within 7 days. Since we are meeting today and we didn't have the ability between what was going on yesterday and today's meeting to post a special meeting, we're asking the city council to make a motion that an emergency situation does exist and that the city council would like to add the item to the agenda. In order to do that, then we'll need to have council make a motion to determine, based on the definition I just gave of an emergency, that an emergency situation does exist and that there is a need to add this item to ratify the draft resolution, that we do need to add that item to the agenda for review.
Thank you, Laura. So I will first ask if I can get a motion to determine an emergency exists and that there is a need to add the item to the agenda. I think I saw a motion by Councilmember Newsom, second by Councilmember Borbo. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
And Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes. Thank you.
And then if I can get a motion to approve the agenda as modified.
Also move.
I'll second.
A motion by Councilmember Borbo, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Ma'am Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. So we're on to our consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar are considered to be routine and non-controversial by city staff and can be approved in one motion if there's no member of the council or the public wishing to comment or ask questions. If we want to have a comment or discussion desired by anyone, we'll remove the item from the consent calendar and it will be considered separately. So we'll look to my colleagues. Is there anyone wishing to poll or comment on an item? I'm seeing none. Go to the attendees. Anybody who's on the phone or in the webinar, if you want to raise your hand using that little raise hand icon at the bottom. Or Luke, is there anyone on the phone that's wishing to comment or pull an item on consent?
There is not.
All right. Seeing none, I'll ask for a motion.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda.
Second.
A motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Daris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We are now on to updates from our city manager. That would be Rochelle Rickard, our city manager, not the other city manager. I'm seeing two Rochelles on here.
I think she might be having some trouble connecting.
Okay, she was on a moment. I mean, she was on screen a moment ago.
So here she comes. I'm going to get up from my seat and let her announce from my desk.
Perfect. Thank you. For some reason, Zoom does not like Rochelle's computer.
Zoom never likes my computer. Hey, thank you, Mayor and Council. Thank you for your patience. Give me just one moment here and let me pull up the city manager for PowerPoint and I'll share my screen. There you go. Can you see the my screen?
Yes, perfectly.
Or a smaller screen, but perfect. Okay, just did something weird. Well, we'll just go with it today. So thank you. I want to talk to you a little bit about the storms and what we are seeing these days. As you know, we received a significant amount of rain in a short period of time where we already had very saturated and wet conditions. As such, as most of you know, we had a lot of flooding and damage and other things going on. City staff, fire department, public works, wastewater, all of administrative services, everybody here, building department, police department, were all very busy responding to storm calls, trying to make sure that, first of all, we were addressing life safety issues. Second of all, we were addressing damage to critical infrastructure, trying to keep our major systems such as wastewater and roads working, utilities, and then third of all, damage to personal property. Several of our creeks and streams, including Atascadero Creek and Dove Creek and a number of creeks, exceeded their normal banks by quite a bit. This picture you see here is the Atascadero Avenue Bridge down at the bottom of near the high school. You can see that water is all the way up at the bridge. This is usually a very deep culvert, a very dry for a lot of the year, but shallow creek, and there it is. I think Nick, during our item on the emergency update, will be talking to you and showing you some more videos of this. Oops. A little bit about some of the roads. We had a lot of road closures yesterday, a lot of road damage. Of Highway 41 and 101 underpass was closed for a good portion of yesterday. We continue to see a lot of road closures. We are trying to keep open as many roads as we can, but there is a lot of debris, rocks, and other things in the right-of-way. We are keeping those open, but asking all drivers to use a lot of caution. We have a lot of pylons, a lot of barricades. When the barricade does say road closed, please, please, please adhere to those road closed signs. As I said on the left, we had some flooding 41-101. This was not an uncommon sight throughout town. We had flooding in many places throughout the city that caused road closures, including this major thoroughfare, South El Camino Real. We'll again talk a little bit more about some of that later in the evening. We've also had some damage to culverts underneath roads. This is one up by San Rafael, where the culvert going under the road has been, the water went around that, basically undermining the road. The road is now hanging over a vacant area. We have this in several neighborhoods. This particular neighborhood, because it's only a road, half the road, we are allowing cars to very slowly go past on the part that still has soil under it. We do have some other ones in town where there is nothing except a void underneath that asphalt. And so those have those road closed signs up there. Please adhere to those. We're also see a lot of debris throughout town. This is happening everywhere. You'll see a lot of mud. You see some mud slides, some more significant ones like the one up on Santa Ana there, to little teeny ones like the one down at the bottom on San Fernando, Laurel Road. When you drive through town, almost every road in town has some mud, water, debris, those types of things. We are leaving these roads open. We are asking every driver to use extreme caution when determining whether or not you can drive through something or need to drive around it. Please be very cautious. And then, of course, like a lot of our residents, we too are experiencing a lot of flooding and damage. You know, our Lake Park bathrooms are underwater. Our Paloma Creek bathrooms continue to be underwater. Sunken Gardens is starting to dry out a little bit. It's now just a big pond instead of one giant pond. But the Lake Park picture there in the upper right, that is the typically our overflow ditch that, I don't know, was about a 4-foot deep ditch. As you can see, it overflowed its banks and has that. These are just very small samples of what we saw out there. Things are much better today. We are hoping for some time to dry out before the next storms that are expected to hit Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We have seen some substantial lowering of our water levels, particularly in our creeks. The lake, though, however, I was there this afternoon. This picture was taken this afternoon. So while it's lower than it was yesterday, obviously there's still a long way to go before you get down there. So we're just hoping to do that. We're addressing what we can, trying to clean out culverts, trying to get debris out of the roads where so that people can get to their homes and get out of their homes with their vehicles. I had a lot of downed trees today in particular. So those are our first needs. We know there are a lot more needs out there. We have hired contractors to address what we can, but we really also need to prep for the next event because we have more water coming. And then last but not certainly not least, wanted to let everyone know that we are canceling the Tamale Festival. This is the first time that rain has canceled the event. We have been able to hold it in the past. Even in spite of some light rain compared to this weekend, with the amount of water and flooding and saturation that we have, it's just impossible to hold the event. We are looking at alternate dates, trying to find out when our tamale vendors, when it would work for our tamale vendors, our bands, our entertainment, and others, because we do want to make it as spectacular as we can. So we have more to come on the Tamale Festival, but it is canceled. Please help get the word out. A couple of things I missed on storm update. I do want to just let you know that we did lift the shelter in place advisory. So yesterday we did have a shelter in place asking everyone to stay off the roads as much as humanly possible unless you had essential service or it was emergency. This is now just a weather advisory that will be through tonight. More likely than not, we'll lift that. We've been busy cleaning trees, debris, opening up roads. Again, still use caution. Our roads are not completely clear. We are keeping them open because we do understand the public's need to get to places, but they do have debris, mud, water still on those roads. I want to thank all of our employees from Public Works to Fire and PD, to those that were answering phones, logging all the calls, disseminating information, being support so that our Public Works, Fire, and PD could keep working. We had a lot of employees work a lot of really long, hard hours, long day yesterday, so thank you to them. On the good news side, Charles Paddock Zoo was open today and will remain open, had limited damage there. Colony Park Community Center and Pavilion on the Lake will be open. Farmers Market will also be able to hold Farmers Market tomorrow from 3 to 5 in the Sunken Gardens. Now is also a good time to get your sandbags filled. Sand can be obtained from the Public Works Yard on Gerbata. You just need to bring your sandbags. That sand is located right outside the gate there at the corporate yard. If you need assistance because your home was flooded, you may call 211 and they should have some information on what type of assistance is available to private homeowners. The storm has been declared a disaster for public agencies by both the state and the president. It is not, to my best of my understanding, it has not been declared a disaster yet for private assistance. So for people's personal property and those types of things, that declaration has not been made, but for public facilities such as roads and parks and those, that declaration has been made. Obviously, there are different thresholds and different criteria that the federal government uses to determine those, and San Luis Obispo County is working very hard to make sure that all of the federal agencies have the right information for that. For road closure updates, because we do continue to have some roads closed, there will be some roads that will take weeks to fix. You can go to www.zonehaven.com. That's the city's emergency evacuation information. A lot of our emergency information is on that. If you put in the Atascadero zip code, you will see the current road status for your area. If you see storm damage or flooding that requires assistance from city workers, you can call our Public Works Department directly at 805-470-3148. A lot of those phone calls were very, very helpful yesterday in helping us identify those areas that needed immediate work to help keep things open or to block roads or to do all of that. So we appreciate all of that help. And again, use caution, be safe, be cautious, and please abide by those road close signs. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions the council may have. Like I said, I think Nick DeBar and probably Casey will be able to talk a little bit more when we talk about the emergency and can provide some more information then.
Okay, so I think what might be best is if we save our questions for that time so we can kind of congregate it together. I do have one that if you want to wait until later, because I don't know if you would need to find out or if you know now, but I had heard a news report that San Luis Obispo County and Santa Barbara, I think as well, but for certain San Luis Obispo was not included in the federal declaration of it wasn't a statewide. And I saw the report that both Congressman Panetta and Congressman Carbajal were, you know, advocating to get that inclusion. So I don't know if you have any information on that or if we'd be able to research that. And maybe when that item comes to us at the end of the evening, we'd have something.
Information that I received at the morning emergency briefing from the county was that we were declared a disaster as of yesterday or last night, both the federal and the state disaster. We were always included in the state disaster. We were not in the federal yesterday, but through work from the county, it is my understanding that we have been included in that.
Okay. All right. So the KSBY may have been going off old information. That's good to know. All right. So we'll go through more of this later then.
Hey, can I verify that? Is that your understanding?
Oh, of course.
Casey, are you there?
Yeah. That is what I understand as well. I'm trying to do a little bit more research as we go along, but to my understanding, we are included in that as well.
Thank you. And that's why I wanted to bring it up now, just in case, you know, a little research helps. And then when we get to that item in a little bit, we'll have for sure. Thank you very much, Rochelle.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to community forum. And so what you just heard the city manager do with her update was give us a little bit of information about the storm, the damage, the things that the city is doing, the things that residents, you know, that we encourage you to do to be safe. And, you know, on behalf of myself, the entire council, so much gratitude to staff who has been working around the clock to address the myriad of issues that are happening both on public and private property. And thank you to all of you who are phoning in, who are emailing in, texting, and letting us know when there is something that we need to be aware of and hop on. And seeing the videos of, you know, neighbors helping neighbors and, you know, businesses helping businesses. I mean, that's, you know, what communities do. We come together. And so thanks to all of you, to all of our staff for all that you're doing and pulling together to get us through this. And we will get through it. So we will talk more about this later, but now we're on to community forum. And this is the portion of the meeting that's reserved for persons wanting to address the council on any matter that's not on our agenda this evening and over which the council has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes, and we ask that you state your name for the record before making your presentation. And comments made during community forum aren't going to become a subject of discussion, but I can often help triage, and if you've got questions, make sure those questions get answered in the very near future. A maximum of 30 minutes is allowed for community forum, and with that, I will go ahead and open up public comment, community forum. So if you're on the webinar here, go ahead and raise your hand. If you have not yet called in, you can do so to that phone number that I mentioned at the beginning, and I will give that to you one more time. It's 669-900-6833. Again, 669-900-6833. Meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. One more time, that meeting ID is 889-2347-9018. And with that, we'll go to our first raised hand, and that is Mr. Jeff Oslin.
Good evening, Council. Can you hear me on this?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So from the phone Zoom, I was not able to reach you during the beginning of the portion. So first of all, your KPRL broadcast is not on the air. Secondly, on the consent agenda, I was hoping to have pulled an item for a minute, but I could not get through due to technical difficulties. Is there any way to come back to an item?
Well, we've already voted on it, but if you wanted to make a comment, please go ahead and do that now.
Well, I'd like a little bit more comment on the money we're spending on a property to not allow that property to do stuff in the downtown. And I'm just curious if there's any other caveats to that. And that I believe is item number 5, I'm not mistaken.
Item number 5 is our virtual requirements for virtual meetings. Whatever you're referring to, I don't see that on our consent calendar.
It was last meeting.
Yeah, it was from the last meeting, second the consent. We spent about $100,000 to prevent a business from re-existing downtown, and I just want to, just curious if there's any other things to that you can't have an auto shop, but is there any requirements to that business property owner that he has to take things down or knock things down? I'm just curious.
Got it. Okay. Anything else?
Outside of that, no, I'm glad we survived the storm, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I have confirmed with tech support that KPRL is now working. So thank you for that heads up. All right. Anyone else wishing to speak, go ahead and raise your hand without using that raise hand icon. Anyone else? Do we have anyone else on the anyone on the phone, Luke? I see a phone number here.
Yeah, that's the only caller at this time.
Okay. And does that caller know how to raise a hand if she or he wanted to?
I believe it is either *6 or *9 to raise a hand.
I think *6. I think you're right. Okay. I don't see any other raised hands, so I'll go ahead and close community forum and bring that back to council. So since we have no one else wishing to speak at the time, community forum will remain open until 6:54. And at this time, we're going to move on to the next item. But if anyone would like to speak, you can go ahead and raise your hand on Zoom or press that *6 before that 30-minute period is ended, which again would be 6:54. And you will be recognized to speak at the earliest possible opportunity. So with regards to the item on our agenda last time, I would ask, is our community development director, Mr. Phil Dunsmore, here? Or possibly Lorelei would want to answer. It was simply a removal of a grandfathered zoning. So if we want to give just a quick answer or possibly follow up with Mr. Oslin afterwards.
Mayor Moreno, I'm not sure Phil or Lorelei are on.
Nope, I'm not seeing them. Okay.
So one of us can follow back up with Jeff if that works and just give him a little bit more explanation of how that restricted deed worked. Restricted covenant, sorry.
That's just fine.
Great.
All right. I do see a hand raised. So we're going to go ahead and, as I said, community forum is still open. So if the individual on the phone is wishing to talk with community forum, you now have the floor. You are muted right now. And if we could ask for the timer to be on the screen too, just for the for information of the speakers. You are muted. Do you know who's on the phone, Luke?
No, all I can see is that number like you. They will need to hit *9 on their keypad to unmute themselves so they can begin speaking.
Okay, thank you for that. Perfect. Okay, you look to be unmuted.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
It's Phil Dunsmore. I had to call in because I don't have power.
Oh.
I don't have internet, so I'm so sorry. So I'm trying to respond to that previous question regarding plums.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
So if you want to just give a brief thing of that, or you could get with Jeff later, but it, you know, possibly something that the rest of the public would like to hear. And, sure, and we will give you a 3-minute.
Thank you. the situation with slums is, yes, there was an agreement to buy out the non-conforming use, the non-conforming automotive use. It does not require him to demolish the building or make significant changes to the building. It simply regulates the non-conforming uses that were on the property and requires that only conforming uses that conform with downtown zoning be allowed on the property in the future.
Great, thank you for that clarification. Okay, so we were, and if we know how to bring Phil in as a panelist, we could move him over. Otherwise, we'll know that he's there.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So on to our, we have no public hearings tonight. We have our management report, which is our fiscal year 2022 annual road report. And this will be our Public Works Director, Mr. Nick DeBar, and Public Works Analyst, Mr. Ryan Betts, will make the presentations. Oh, I see Ms. Rangel. Is it going to be you?
Yes, Mayor. I think we will tag team the Finance and Public Works today. So I'll go ahead and start off if that's all right with you.
Please.
Okay. I will share my screen. Okay. Can you see the screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, perfect. All right. As you said, this is overview of the 2022 fiscal report for the Measure F14. Council adopted an ordinance in July of 2014 that outlines the annual reporting requirements and the report to the Citizen Sales Tax Oversight Committee. The annual report includes the financial statements, revenue information, expenditure information, all of that important stuff. The revenues that were beginning to be collected by retailers in April of 2015, that's a half cent on each of the sales tax item. And for this past fiscal year, July 21 through June of 22, we collected about $3.2 million. Interest income in the financial statement says that it's a negative $116,000. Really what that means is we earned about $41,000-$42,000 in interest revenue, but there's an accounting adjustment where every year at the end of the year we have to adjust all of our holdings to fair market value. And since the market was down at that time, it looks like we have a paper loss of $157,000. That will reverse July 1st of this year. So just how we have to report that. These are the expenditures by project. So we name each project. They're kind of similar in their name type. So 2020 pavement rehabilitation just started in the 2020 year. So as you know, it takes generally a couple of fiscal years is normally what it takes to span each project. So they'll start design and then construction. Construction is generally over the summertime. So each project generally takes a couple of fiscal years to complete. So these are not the fiscal year amounts. These are one, this total is what we spent in the last fiscal year, and these are the names of the projects. So we were just completing the 2020 pavement rehab that was just kind of coming to the tail end at 8,900. The 2021 pavement rehabilitation was the main construction period, 2.7. And then 21, 22, and 23 were kind of just getting rolling. In total, we spent almost $3.4 million in these projects during the fiscal year. The fund balance at the end of the year is $4.2 million. And this, of course, will roll over for future years. A lot of this has already been programmed and is being spent by Director DeBar's team as we speak, trying to get roads completed. So whatever is remaining will roll over for future years and will get budgeted in our next budget cycle that is starting soon. At this point, I will go ahead and turn it over to Director DeBar to look at some of the road information.
Thank you, Director Rangel. So this map kind of summarizes the work we've been doing to date on the F14 project. The green shaded roads are roads that actually have been completed through the year 2022. The blue roads are roads that the red roads are roads that are planned for next year. So that's a 2023 project. The labeling of the projects, you know, with the year, it usually will correspond to the year that they're constructed. So the 2023 project, the red roads here on the map, are the roads that were currently under design and will be constructed this summer. As I mentioned, the green roads are previous F14 projects completed to date. And then the blue roads on there are the non-F14 projects planned for next year. So you can see those roads are in the downtown corridor for the non-F-14 projects. Next slide, please.
Sorry, I will get that back.
Okay.
It looked like someone rock climbing on something, like some little speck of someone.
That was me on my, that's my vacation trip picture. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to like zoom out or zoom in. It was really going to be like a road, but put perpendicular.
So this is a chart that we put together. Pretty simple. There's other data factors we could have thrown on here too, but.
Excuse me, Bob. I'm not seeing it on my screen.
Oh.
I've got it fine on mine. Is there any other council, any other participant that can't see
it? There, it just popped up. I got it now. Thank you.
Okay, fabulous.
So this graph kind of shows kind of the trend since Measure F-14 was adopted or passed by the voters. The green line, well, let me start with the red line first. So in 2020 or 2015, when the city was putting this measure before the voters, we did some analysis and we looked out 10 years and said, okay, with our current funding, where are we going to be? And at that time, you know, the primary funding we have is the LTF money, local transportation fund from the gas tax. And without Measure of 14 monies, we kind of looked at that to see where our overall pavement condition index would be for all our roads, and that red line demonstrates where that would be. So through the 7 years, I guess it is, through 2022, it started out at ECI of 47 in 2015. And we were expecting to be, if we didn't have Measure F-14, it would be at a PCI of 34. The blue line, the green line, is the projection with Measure F-14. And at that time, we're projecting a little under $2 million a year coming in. And even with Measure F-14, we're looking at, you know, a decrease of 6 points on the PCI to 41 at the end of 2022. The blue line is actually where we're tracking. So we went from 46 to a couple of years ago, we hit 50 in 2019 when we last had that full evaluation done. And now we're at 49. And we get these numbers from StreetSaver, which are real time. So we plug in the work we've done when we did it, and it kind of projects out what PCIs are for each of the roads. So that difference from 41 to 49, that 8-point difference, you know, some of that is the money. We're, as Director Rangel mentioned, we're bringing in a little over 3 million, 3.2, 3.3 million. So that's much higher than the 1.8 million we originally projected. So that's helped out tremendously. But another reason is we've been very diligent and with making sure we do the right treatments on the roads and really try to stay within those budgets as best we can in value engineering. Next slide, Jerry. This is another, just a chart showing where those PCI ranges for all the city roads are. There you go. Just based on a different ranges for pavement condition. And it's interesting because, you know, the PCI range 90 to 100, we actually dropped 1%. Failed, we actually increased the number of failed portions of road. But really looking at the good roads, we went up 14 points in good roads, 14 percentage points. The fair roads, we actually went down 11 points. And then the poor roads, we have decreased as well. So a lot of those poor and fair roads have moved up to good condition. And this kind of shows where those breakpoints for selecting roads are, you know, the difference between, and one of those breakpoints is 70. So you can see how that differs between the good and the fair roads. Next slide, Jerry. So one of the things we've done from the beginning with the annual road report is also have this brochure that's mailed to each resident in town or each property, and kind of summarizes the annual report, and then also provide some other information, background information on the measure of 14 and what's coming up in the upcoming year. So this is one, I guess, side of this, but that map that I explained, and then on the bottom there, it has the roads that are included in the next F14 measure. Next slide, please. And then a summary in the middle there, that's kind of a good summary of where of the money's spent, how many miles of road, kind of the balance, what's been committed. So one of the things is we had balance, end of the year balance of $4.2 million. But of that $4.2 million, as you can see on the bottom, there's $3.3 million that are already obligated at that time, you know, because we're under contract for construction contracts or design contracts or other things. So we're not storing up that money. We are spending it and being good stewards of that money. And then just that background on the left side of the panel here, you know, we have that table again in there, and just a little background. And then on the right, we included that chart without that one green line, because it's kind of a small chart on this brochure, so it kind of gets lost. So we wanted to kind of start showing the residents kind of some performance metrics on the what's happening with the measure and how it's impacting on the city's road system. So in summary, we've worked on 45 miles of road so far, centerline miles. There's nearly $14 million in neighborhood road repairs and improvements completed. We've resurfaced or rehabilitated, as I mentioned, 42 miles of road completed neighborhood roads, and we've really improved a lot of drainage and roads slope stability. That I've driven a lot of these roads after the storm that we've had, and I can't imagine kind of the mess we'd have if we didn't do some of these projects and the time and effort that the maintenance guys would have cleaning these roads up. Next slide, please. So the CSEC committee met on December 15th and approved the annual road report. Next slide, please. They also endorsed the community road brochure as well. But recommendation tonight is council approve the fiscal year 2022 annual road report and approve the 2022 community road report that will be mailed out to all the properties in town. With that, Director Rangel and I can answer any questions you have.
Thank you, directors. I'll look to council for any questions. It's always a fun report. Good information. Councilmember Borbeau.
Yeah, thank you. Nick, you alluded to it regarding the effect of this work on storms, and I know that sometimes you did the full rehabilitation, you put in brand new culverts and stuff like that, and I was wondering how those did perform in the storm. I assume they all performed well.
Yeah, they did. You know, on more of the recent projects, and sometimes you complete these projects and it takes a couple of years for slopes to become stable, you know, whether there's vegetation that you're trying to establish on it or what. But these culverts did perform very well. There are some, I noticed on Balboa on a hairpin turn up there, there is some erosion on the outlet side of one of those culverts, but it didn't fail. You know, it did accommodate the storm and performed well. One of the things with sizing storm culverts and storm sewer systems and drain inlets is that we usually design to the worst storm that would happen statistically every 25 years. We call it a 25-year storm event. And we've had way more 25 and 50-year and all these other storm events. It's a much more erratic than it used to be. And I didn't really look up what this past storm event that we had this week was, but you know, we got seven to 10 inches of rain over a day and a half. I mean, that's a lot of rain, and a lot of that came down in a short amount of time as well. But we were very lucky and had the roads we have done all look pretty well. There's a few that do have cleanup, and just, you know, we're kind of limited on what we do with drainage, and really we've been focused on the pavement condition. But a lot of the drainage goes hand in hand with the pavement, you know, affects the pavement condition. But, you know, really being vigilant to stay within those budget constraints.
Thank you. I you know, mentioning PCI scores, I noticed, as one might expect, that, you know, when you do a full rehab, the PCI score afterwards is generally 100. That's not always the case. When you do a rehabilitation, sometimes it doesn't end up at 100. Like I'm a couple of Junipero and Pueblo and Sinaloa. Is that, whereas, you know, when you do a resurfacing, the number goes up, but it, you know, it's still well below 100 in many cases. I understand that because you're not fixing the underlying condition of the road. But when you do a rehab project, it seems unusual that it comes out less than 100.
Yeah, the rehab projects, a lot of those roads are fully reconstructed, so you're dealing with this structural pavement issue. So you're either obliterating the road and kind of rebuilding that pavement section, where the resurfacing or maintenance projects are crack sealing, maybe some localized dig out and pave backs, and then usually there's a micro-surfacing on that road. That's done. So that doesn't usually get it back to 100 PCI, because you still have those underlying cracks. There might be some road rideability issues on it and other things. On some of those rehab projects that are shown, if it's not 100, then we probably didn't do a full depth reclamation. It was probably one of those road segments that had more of a resurfacing treatment to it. So it's probably like, you know, full dig outs and a micro surfacing.
Thank you. Yeah, and I can't say enough about the great work here. And really, this map starts to show with all that color on it how many miles of roads you're getting to. And I just know it's, for me, I consider it a huge success. But I wanted to ask you or Jerry, I think, if I recall correctly, this half-cent sales tax provision expires in 2026. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's so unless it's renewed by the voters, it'll expire, I believe. We started collecting on April 1st, 2015, so it would expire March 30th of 2027 if it's not renewed by voters.
Right, and so maybe we won't discuss it this evening, but it you know, needs to be on our radar scope to discuss that possibility of extension, probably during our strategic planning or something. Okay, thank you very much, and great job. I'm just so pleased with this program and the success that it's demonstrated in the work staff's done to make it a success.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Director DeBar. This is, you know, I know I'm concur with all of this. This is a great report. We've really made tremendous progress. as a community in moving this forward. I wanted to take a moment to thank you and also thank all of the local folks who have who are serving on the Citizens Tax Oversight Committee, because this is a way of making sure that this council is spending the money, and the staff is spending the money the way that we promised the voters back when this tax measure came up that we would do so. And that level of accountability is important in this day and age, that we show that we are keeping faith with those promises and delivering good results for the community with the funds. Is anything going to need to change, do you think, in our coming years, things because of the storm damage that we're just now reckoning with?
As far as how we would design the projects or the roads?
No, more in terms of priorities. Are we going to need to pause some of these projects so that we can deal with roads that have been damaged and are undrivable?
I don't believe so. I think one thing with inflation going the way it is and construction costs, you know, really escalating the last year or two, with the budget cycle that we're going into in the next couple of months, one of the things we do with that is we update the five-year capital improvement plan, and we select those roads. We update the roads that have already been selected in year 1 through 3 in this next five-year CIP, and then we update those costs for those projects, and then the remaining money that's available and projected will select roads for year 4 and 5 in that five-year CIP. So I think we haven't, you know, roads that we've promised, you know, once we listed on that five-year CIP, the city has been able to complete those projects and get those roads built. And I hope we can still do that for year 1 through 3 on the CIP and those roads that are already on there. But we will be updating those construction costs in the upcoming months and as part of that budget cycle. And we might need to make some adjustments on that. So we'll see, I guess, what happens on that. But as far as reprioritizing roads from storm damage and everything else, a lot of the storm damage were failed culverts and debris on the road and some mudslides and things like that. So not so much pavements and things like that.
Okay. And when's the next time in our cycle that you go through and survey it, the condition of all the roads in the city?
So we try to do that every 4 to 5 years. So the next time would be, I believe it would be 2024 would be the next year we do it.
Okay.
Either 2023, like latter half of next year or this year, or the first part of next, the 2024 cycle.
Okay. So for residents who feel like their road has gotten additionally stressed because of changes in traffic, there we'll have a chance to check for that coming up.
Absolutely. Soon. Yep.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other council questions? All right. Seeing then, we've got some nice 20s and even teens on the upcoming 23 list. So I know a lot of people excited about that. And just if you could let the public know where they can go on the website to see the upcoming roads, not just for 2023, but if they're wondering, is my road in the hopper, where they can find that information.
Sure. It's we have it listed in a number of locations, but one, if they go to the city's homepage at atascadero.org, I believe it's still in the bottom left-hand corner of that page. There's an F14. They can also go to the Public Works Department web page, and we have a capital projects link that would take them into that, and that lists all our projects, not just the F14. But there is a dedicated F14 site that does have a lot of this information, and we've been trying to keep that updated as much as possible. So when we complete projects, we try to get in there as soon as possible afterward and update that information.
Great, thank you. Council Member Borbo.
Yeah, along those lines, Nick, I know when this started, it showed the F-14 projects out for like 5 years. Is it still out 5 years so people can look down the road and go, hey, my road's not this year, it's not next year, but gee, it's out there in 25 or 26 or something?
Yeah, currently for Measure F-14, well, all our projects, we've only have it out there for the next 3 years. So, but with the budget cycle and that updating of the 5-year CIP, we'll add 2 more years out.
Thank you.
And can I just say 45 miles of road? I mean, I remember being on council when we first put this on the ballot and it got passed and, you know, you're thinking, gosh, 2-3 miles at a time. But I mean, it has really added up. You and your team have done a tremendous job of getting everything we can out of every single dollar invested in our roads. So good job.
Yeah. And it's you know, Ryan Hayes and, you know, all my staff, Jim Capanna and, our consultants that we use and contractors who've been using. I mean, it's a good partnership with everybody. And we've got a great team and, you know, they care a lot about this program and they want to deliver it and make sure that, you know, we're accountable to the taxpayers and they get what they're paying for.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and open this up to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to speak, go ahead and raise your hand here in the webinar. We have Mr. Jeff Oslin. And if we could have the timer up for information, that'd be great.
Well, I'm going to be brief. Thank you, Mayor and Council. So, full disclosure, I do sit on this committee, and I think we're doing a great job in managing our funds and doing the right thing. I would like our director to speak for a minute, if possible, about the difference between the F-20 funds and the main artery funds that come out of the budget, the general fund budget, and explain the difference, because I think it's confusing to the public, as we have found out in the last few weeks. I think that makes a huge difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak? Go ahead and raise your hand. Anyone here on the roads report? All right, I'll go ahead and close public comment and bring it back to staff. And Director DeBar, if you'd like to answer, or actually, sorry, Director Rangel, if you would answer that question.
Certainly. So F-14 funds are those funds that were used specifically in conjunction with Measure E as well to use for the roads. So those are easily separate from other general fund expenditures, although they are general fund monies. They can easily be separated and looked at on the budget and the audit and those things like that. Now, Measure D20 is a little bit different. Some of the items that we buy, you know, a piece of equipment or something like that is easily identifiable as a separate purchase, but those are combined to use for, you know, to hire another police officer or increase police officer salaries or those types of things. So they kind of combine with the other general fund monies, and they're not really easy to kind of distinguish, you know, was this dollar used for that officer or was it, you know, these other property tax dollars. So they are all combined into the general fund and presented in total, and they will be going forward. We do have some estimates of staff as kind of, you know, roundabouts what those D20 monies are used for, but in F-14 we can get down to the cents on how much we spent on those roads, and that's what this road report shows for those F-14 funds.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was important to be able to
Mayor,
have that. Yes.
I'm not sure if this is what Mr. Oslin was getting at, but I think for clarification, you know, the F-14 money is used for certain types of roads, not main thoroughfares like El Camino Real or 41. And maybe Mr. DeBar could address the distinction in this other way. It was like you use the local transportation fund money for bigger streets or whatever, but F-14, we wanted focused on neighborhood roads, and that's what you've done, if I understand it all correctly.
Yes, that's true, Councilmember Bobo. With F-14, there was also an accompanying measure called D-14, and I like talking about this because I think it's important. And that measure E-14, which also passed, said if measure F-14 were to pass, should the monies, it's a general tax, right? So F-14 is a general tax measure. It could be used technically for anything, but it E-14 passed and said if F-14 were to pass, should the money be used primarily for neighborhood road repairs and improvements? And so neighborhood roads being those collectors and local roads, not the arterials, as Councilmember Verbo mentioned, like El Camino Real and Santa Rosa and those major, bigger roadways. And because I think at the time, the idea was, hey, look, the money, the limited money that and funding that the city has for roads, really has always gone to these arterial roadways. And, you know, these neighborhood roads are never going to get done. So it's really allowed us to do 45 miles so far. I mean, that's just so far. And that's about a third of our city maintained system. So, I mean, to me, it's pretty exciting that we're able to do that much. And we're not even done with the 12-year measure. We've been able to touch one third of all the roads that we maintain. And that includes the arterial roads that we're not even using the funding for. So, yes, that's kind of the primary thing. D-20, I mean, D-20 is also a general tax, but it's not being used for the roads so far.
Thank you.
That can always change, I guess, but, you know, that's up to the city council.
Thank you, Director. All right. If there is no other questions or comments, I would look for a motion.
Move approval of the roads report. And was this a two-part motion? We need that of the
you report could just, and the yeah, just approve staff's recommendation would be sufficient.
Approve sacrament. Move approval of staff's recommendation.
That's always the easy way.
And I'll second.
I have a motion by Council or by Mayor Pro Tem Funk and a second by Council Member Newsom. Roll call, please.
Sorry, my Zoom got buried. Council Member Funk. I'm sorry, Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yes.
Council Member Newsom.
Yes.
Council Member Verbo.
Yes.
Council Member Darris.
Yes.
Mayor Moreno.
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Now we will move on to the emergency declaration to ratify the city manager's declaration. And I'll turn that over to, I'm going to assume, our city manager or possibly Laura Christensen.
So it's going to be me. Give me a second. I might have way too many screens open. Okay. So I'm going to start with this one quickly, which basically hopefully y'all can see that. So this is sort of what we had talked about earlier, is that the council can take action tonight to ratify the proclamation of the emergency by the Director of Emergency Services and adopt the draft resolution consistent with the terms of the local emergency. And I'm going to pop. See this one and nope, not that. You guys don't want that one. And let's see. This is on our website for anyone who's listening in that would like to see it. It's also been provided to the City Council. This is our draft resolution, which basically talks about the storms that sort of started the end of December. And this is consistent with the emergency proclamation that was done
by the governor ahead of these, starting with the December 27th storms and then continuing on. And, you know, basically that these storms have brought high winds and substantial rainfall, which has caused significant flooding, wind gusts, falling debris, downed trees, and power outages, and that this has impacted not only the county, but also the city of Atascadero. And that as a result of what we're now calling the the 2023 January storms, we've seen major flooding of Atascadero Creek, Graves Creek, Dove Creek, multiple seasonal creeks, Atascadero Lake, the Salinas River, and that this flooding caused and continues to cause damage to both public and private property, that these storms are expected to, or they have already caused landslides, which threaten or damage public and private property, that critical infrastructure in the city's been damaged or compromised, and that this will continue to be ongoing. Obviously, we know that there are still rains anticipated for later this week and into the weekend, and who knows what the next several weeks will bring as well. And if you give me just 1 second, I will see. I must have closed it. I thought I had it open. I will bring up Rochelle's, the proclamation that the Director of Emergency Services did, where you can read that, but I've got to grab it off of my desktop, which is on the screen you guys are looking at. So anyway, I'll bring that up in 1 second, but what this draft resolution that you see here will do is this will ratify. So it follows along. It talks about how both the California Emergency Services Act and our municipal code give the power to the city manager as the director of emergency services to proclaim the existence of or threatened existence of a local emergency, and that the director of emergency services, when the council is not in session and can't be called for an emergency, can has that power in the government code and in our municipal code to go ahead and call to proclaim the existence of a local emergency. And then the government code and our municipal code require then that the city council, within 7 days of that proclamation by the director of emergency services, ratify that. And then going forward, the city council will, I believe it's within every 30 days, need to revisit that and determine whether a local emergency continues to exist. And that once the city council, if the city council chooses to adopt this and ratify that, then it's obviously immediate. And it continues, that declaration of a local emergency continues until such time that it's terminated by the city council. In essence, again, what this does is it ratifies what the director of emergency services already did, and it, I will give me 2 seconds and I'll pull it up. It also then obviously keeps that in, keeps that active.
Laura, while you're pulling that up, I might ask Rochelle, yes, a question. Rochelle, if you could maybe clarify for the public why we declare an emergency, why that's important, and what the benefit is to doing that.
There are a lot of benefits to it. First of all, it's very critical. You have to declare a local emergency to be eligible for any state or federal funding if the state declares an emergency or the feds do. So that is step number one, that you declare that emergency. Step number two is what it does is it frees up a lot of my powers, particularly purchasing powers. So today we needed to hire a lot of contractors to go clean up this debris. Normally I would have to put out an RFP, RFQ, and solicit quotes and advertise and bid. This allows the Director of Emergency Services to just go do that. Okay, we need to clear these mudslides right away. Go hire somebody. Same thing with that. Obviously, I'm not, or any EOC director is not acting on their own. You have your whole team there on what's important to address immediately and expeditiously, and those things that we can get at a fair price. We do talk through those things, but it just gives us that power to act immediately and then come back and have it ratified by the council, so you still have that oversight and review of the public.
Thank you very much.
And as you can see here, here is the draft resolution, and then next to it is the proclamation of the existence that was done by the Director of Emergency Services, City Manager Rochelle Rickard, yesterday, you know, as of 8 a.m. January 9th, an emergency. And then it talks about that emergency as defined by the Municipal Code, the Government Code, and the Public Contract Code exists. And that, as Rochelle mentioned, it talks here that, you know, the City Manager is hereby designated as the authorized agent for the purposes of receipt, processing, and coordination of the inquiries and requirements necessary for federal, for all levels of assistance, and then pursuant to Section 4-410 of the Municipal Code, it talks about expenditures and where that fits in along with the Public Contract Code, which is mentioned up here in Section 2. And so when we move over to this resolution, and I know normally we don't talk this much about resolutions, but since this was an emergency item and was added and the public didn't have enough time to review, I thought it would be important that we go over this. So in the resolution itself, what will be, what the City Council, if you choose to adopt this, will be declaring is that the proclamation that Rochelle did yesterday is ratified and confirmed by the City Council, that you've reviewed the need for continuing the declaration of local emergency, and that you find, based on substantial evidence, what we talked about earlier and then what's listed in the resolution itself, that public interest and necessity require the continuation of the proclamation, and that the local emergency shall be deemed to continue to exist until it is terminated by the City Council.
And so, Mark, is there something you need to like read in full prior to this motion being made, assuming it is, or after that motion? Is there something that you need to in detail go through?
No, I don't. We've talked about it. We've daylighted it here and on. We daylighted it earlier when you guys deemed an emergency situation to exist and to add this item. We have posted it to our website, so it is available. Once this is adopted and executed, again, that will be posted to our website. So we have daylighted what we need to, and the only thing here is just what I would need for a recommendation and a motion is just adopt the draft resolution ratifying the proclamation of existence of local emergency by the Director of Emergency Services for the City of Atascadero.
Okay, thank you. So what I would do is ask council for any questions, and also Director DeBar, if you're on hand, assuming there could be some questions for you, I'll just look to hands. Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yes, a technical question. If you could pull it, Laura, if you could pull up the text again. Sure. I noticed at the base, at the bottom of, I think it's page 2.
Of which one?
That would be the resolution, not the declaration.
Okay, sure.
The language is mentions that the council, whereas the council met in emergency session.
Yes, and that is what you've done now by declaring when you did it earlier, and you declared an emergency situation existed and we needed to add this item.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure that the way we ended up doing it was consistent with the language in there. Yes. So that we don't run into a technical issue.
Yeah, that is what you did. You declared an emergency situation existed and you added this item.
Perfect.
Other questions for staff? All right, Councilmember Newsom.
With this notice, is this similar to the emergency that we had in order for COVID where we stay virtual? How does that affect us on our meetings?
With this, no, we are virtual today. We're solely virtual today as a result of the flooding, the debris on the street, some flooding that's occurred here at City Hall, some flooding that our broadcast video service experienced, and their inability to be here in order to provide broadcasting services. And so in order to do that, we needed to be fully virtual in order to provide a quality meeting for anyone that was wanting to participate or do so
virtually. And so that's why we're doing this. On a go forward, this doesn't change with AB 361. That as long as the state of emergency continues to exist with the governor, then we will on a go forward need to continue to do the resolutions that we are doing that then address if we are, we continue to have a state of emergency as a result of this requiring us to remain virtual.
Thank you for that clarification.
All right, I'm not seeing any other questions. Are we ready to go to public comment? I'm thinking so. All right, so we'll head over to public comment and go ahead and raise your hand there in the webinar. And I see Mr. Jeff Oslin.
Good evening, Council, once again. And Madam Mayor, you hit the nail on the head and so did our city manager. But I believe this is also the first step in also processing this for our residents, that if the state and the feds both deem our area as a state of emergency, then we can get FEMA help and other things for our homes that were flooded out. So if that's the case, we should be full forge on this. Plus, it does reimburse the city. It doesn't come out of our funds at 100%. So I urge everybody to, of course, vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will go ahead and close public comment and bring that back. I will ask either Ms. Christensen or Ms. Rickard, does that also impact, I would think so, that impacts private residences or private owners of property if everyone up the chain has declared that emergency when they're dealing with their insurance or any other entity?
Yes. So it is my understanding that the city would still have to declare emergency for residents to be there. I'm not positive on that. The big thing is for the private property residents I forget what they call it, individual assistance program to kick in. The feds need to know that we've had an certain dollar amount of damage. Since I talked earlier, I have was able to locate an email or notification from County OES. They are recommending that anybody that has damage to their own personal property go to readyslow.org to report any damage sustained. They are trying to gather all of that information so that they can show the federal government that we have reached that threshold, or at least try and do that so that we can get that individual assistance. There's other information at readyslow.org for people on other programs that might be available to help. But again, if you have damage to your own personal property, please go to readyslow.org and report that. That's going to help with our application to get that designation for individual assistance.
So the question I asked earlier this evening, does that have something to do with that, but there's just more of a nuance to it than what I was understanding?
Yes. Yes. So there's public assistance, and that's assistance to governments for damages to their facilities. And we are on that. There's several counties throughout the state that have now been declared, and we were just added to it last night, a federal disaster for the public assistance side. None of the counties in the state of California have yet been declared a disaster on the individual assistance side. Mm-hmm. Individual assistance, again, is for assistance with somebody who has damage to their own private residence or some of those things.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was helpful to clarify. Yeah. All right. I will look to council if there is any further discussion or a motion.
Madam Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve staff's recommendation and ratify the city manager's emergency declaration.
I'll second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau and a second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We'll now move on to council announcements and committee.
Mayor,
Yes.
Moreno, did you want to, I apologize, I wasn't quick enough on my unmute. Did you want to get any information from Director DeBar or from Casey? Okay, you're perfect. Okay, thank you.
Things are being done that need to be done, and you're updating us and the public regularly, so thank you. Okay, so on to council announcements and committee reports. I just one note that I wanted to make. We made a change, but it hasn't been changed yet in our agenda. But I did ask council members individually if they wanted to continue with their committee assignments, and they have all graciously agreed to that. I did request one change, and that has been changed. So on the agenda, we can see that council member Newsom is a representative for the Visit SoCal Advisory Committee. That is now going to be under council member Darras. And council member Darras is listed as has served on the last 2 years, the city's finance committee, and that will now be under council member Newsom. So those two will swap, but other than that, everything remains the same. And thank you all for your willingness to serve. And with that, I'll go ahead and ask for, again, announcements and committee reports, and I'll start with Councilmember Darras.
I have nothing to report, thank you.
All right, Councilmember Newsom.
Thank you for that change. I know on one of the agenda packets, me and Mayor Pro Tem Newsom need to swap titles. other than that, I do appreciate you allowing us to continue to serve on these different committees and look forward to the new add-on. And no meetings have not attended any meetings and have nothing to report. So thank you.
Councilmember Borbo.
Nothing really to report. IWMA meets tomorrow, but nothing to report there. I would note that as we enter 2023, we begin our budget cycle for the fiscal year 23-25, two-year period. And Finance Director, Administrative Services Director Jerry Rangel has begun to schedule Finance Committee meetings. And, you know, those are committee meetings that are open to the public for public participation. I forget offhand when the first one is, but we will be having a series of those as we approach the adoption of a budget in June. So, and that's it.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I appreciate the opportunity to serve as well. A couple of things. HSOC, the Homeless Services Oversight Council, will be meeting on the 18th next week. One of the issues that will undoubtedly be on the agenda will be a discussion, now that this is the first time we're coming through the planning cycles that cities often have in January, February timeframe. First time we've done that since the adoption of a countywide strategy to address homelessness. So we'll be coming back with discussion, coming back to this council with recommendations about city placing a priority on homelessness, of articulating what we want to see happen, not necessarily that it's going to be funded by the city, but what we want to see happen in our city, and prioritizing coordination with the county and other cities in joint efforts, so that we can address this problem and all be rowing in the same direction together. And that's a discussion that we'll have, you know, going back to all the councils. Additionally, that we had discussion here in this body of an HSOC issue that we had not had a warming center this year in Atascadero for this winter season. And with this major atmospheric river, we were able to stand up a warming center for the North County over the weekend, for wet weather warming center. It is in Paso at the Church of the Nazarene, is available to folks in Atascadero and Paso both. We're still working on all the details, but that we were able to stand that up very quickly with support from the county. And we may be coming back to see if this body could authorize modest support if Atascadero folks are actually able to use that center.
Thank you. You'll recall at some prior meetings, I said there was a risk of us losing urbanized status in the North County, which would mean well over $1.5 million every year, which basically would have come out of our our LTF funds we would have needed to use for transit, and we would have suffered that loss in terms of improving roads, not at 14 money, but different money. Good news we got right at the tail end of the year is that we have retained urbanized status. So until the next census and whoever, you know, whatever decision makers decide how that will go. So that was very good news. I've got a Slow Cog and RTA meetings tomorrow morning. We have a group meeting for the broadband with North County. We have that meeting today. So we had representatives from GoBiz, from Reach, from the Pacific Coast Broadband Consortium, Mayor Martin and myself, Dan Baum, who has been very, you know, helpful and instrumental in helping us to move forward. So, you know, of course, the project we're dealing with, we're focusing on that last mile. We're about halfway through the whole strategic plan that we're putting together. We definitely need more people taking the survey. So we have a lot of people taking the survey, but we have an issue with the census and where the surveys are being taken. So I would ask anyone listening who has taken it, would you, you know, send that to three friends? And I would ask my colleagues here on council, you know, those of you who are part of Rotary and AAUW and Kiwanis and those, send that out. The more people we can have taking this and the more data points we get, the better. The FCC, of course, shows that we're covered just fine, which of course we're not. But now the FCC for the first time is allowing a challenge to their data. Typically, you'd have to have individual, you know, homeowners who have service go and challenge that on their own, which it's hard enough getting people to do a survey. No one's going to go get on the FCC website and try to challenge something and figure that out. But we can do that in bulk the more people that take this survey. And the reason that's important is if the FCC shows that we have great coverage here in Atascadero, we then don't get eligible for the funding. So it's really important. The more people that can take these this survey, the better. So please, please, please do that.
Is there a time frame on that in terms of when that needs to be done by, Mayor?
Quickly. We're wanting to wrap up everything by the end of February. So really in the next, you know, if it could be taken in the next, within the next month would be ideal. Thank you. And with that, I will ask if any individual determinations. All right, seeing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn our meeting over to the successor agency. And so I will now call to order the successor meeting, successor agency meeting, and ask for a roll call.
Councilmember Werbo?
Here.
Councilmember Darris?
Here.
Councilmember Newsom?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Here.
Mayor Moreno?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Can I get a approval for the agenda? Motion to approve.
So move.
I'll second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Funk, second by Council Member Newsom. Roll call, please.
Council Member Newsom?
Yes.
Council Member Werbo?
Yes.
Council Member Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. On to consent calendar is simply our draft minutes from January 11th, 2022. Could I get a motion to approve if there's no one wishing to comment or poll? Anyone in the public?
So move.
All right.
Second.
Motion by Councilmember Werbo, second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Werbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
Thank you. We're on to community forum. This is the portion of the meeting reserved for persons wanting to address the board on matters that are not on this agenda this evening, but over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. We ask that you state your name for the record. And that is it. I will go ahead and open up community forum for the successor agency to the redevelopment agency. I am not seeing anybody wishing to speak. I'll go ahead and close community forum and bring that back. Hold on, I've got multiple agendas here. I'm trying to keep straight. All right, there we go. We're on to our one management report of the evening, our approval of our recognized obligation payment schedule for 23-24. And this will be given by our Administrative Services Director, Jerry Rangel.
Thank you very much, Mayor. This should be a brief report. Okay. As you have indicated, this is for the required obligation payment schedule. This is something that's due to, goes to the Oversight Board for the county on January 30th of this month, once or after it has been reviewed by this board and that board, it would be sent to the Department of Finance at the state level. It covers 1 year of expenses for the successor agency from July 1st of 23 to June 30th of 24, and it includes an administrative budget. The Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund amount that is being requested on this ROPS is $1,869,209, and that will cover bond, debt service, the administrative allowance, and other bond compliance issues. After discussion here tonight, this item will go to the Oversight Board, as discussed earlier, on January 30th, and it must be sent to the Department of Finance at the state level and be certified by them before the funding will commence next year. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from Council, Councilmember Borbo?
I'm sorry, because of the emergency, to get a chance to ask these kind of mundane questions ahead of time. On page 12, the fold-out page, the administrative allowance that you mentioned, $47,000 for the year, it shows total outstanding obligation of $1.2 million. Is that what is or what was the estimated cost for the all the way out to the, you know, to 2041?
Yes, that is the estimated cost.
Okay. And that's probably going to be less than that because we're now down to $47,000 a year, or?
Likely, yeah.
And then on the spreadsheet, there's multiple pink columns, and if I understand correctly, those are the items that, due to the change in state law, that they denied our thing, and so they've been removed, and they're no longer outstanding obligations, I guess?
Correct. And this form is downloaded from the State Department of Finance, so they kind of manage what columns and rows are on here and what are not. So those are still included, but you're right, they are shaded out in a different color because
right.
of that.
But they'll be listed there as columns for the next 18 years or whatever. Yeah.
Or whatever they decide to change it, yes.
Sounds like the state, yes. All right, thank you.
All right, any other questions that we have on this? Mayor Pro Tem Funk.
Yes, just on those pink rows there, those three obligations that were zeroed out, those then how is the money that we received from that through the good offices of Senator Laird, we were able to get $3 million to make us whole for those obligations. Where is that money reflected? Does that show in this budget or just go directly to general funds for the city?
Right, it doesn't show in this. It was an obligation of the successor agency to the city of Atascadero. So now those funds have come into the city of Atascadero and are not shown on this document. As you have indicated, they, you know, instead of this, these were closed out, not accepted by the state, but because we were able to get those other funds, those are showing up in the city statements.
Okay, so as the managers of the successor agency, we are pleased that this obligation has been resolved. And as council members of the city, we are delighted that we got the money and all good. Okay, thank you.
Yes.
And not only resolved, but doubled. So, all right, I am not seeing any other questions. So I will go ahead and open up to public comment. If there's any member of the public, go ahead and raise your hand. Wishing to speak on this? I am not seeing any, so I will close public comment and bring it back to the board for a motion.
I'll move staff's recommendation.
I'll move approval of the 23-24 ROPS schedule.
Well, Mayor Pro Tem Funk beat you out to it. Will you do okay. a second? All right.
I'll second.
We've got a first and a second there. Mayor Pro Tem Funk, Councilmember Borbo, roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Councilmember Newsom?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right, I'm going to assume we have no board announcements or reports. All right, we'll go ahead and adjourn to the meeting of the Public Financing Authority. So I call this meeting of the Public Financing Authority to order. Roll call, please.
I can't flip papers fast enough. Okay. Board Member Borba.
Here.
Board Member Darris.
Here.
Board Member Newsom.
Sorry, mouse went off the screen. Here.
Vice Chair Funk.
Here.
And Chair Moreno.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
Also move.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbeau, second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Board Member Borbeau?
Yes.
Board Member Newsom?
Yes.
Board Member Darris?
Yes.
Vice Chair Funk?
Yes.
And Chair Moreno?
Yes, ma'am. Motion passes.
If I may, just for a second, on the agenda, just as a correction, the roll call list of Funk is mentioned twice as vice chair and a board member. Newsom's name wasn't put on there.
Thank you.
I don't know if you need to correct that or not, but.
All right. Thank you. We'll move on to community forum. Community forum is for persons wanting to address the Public Financing Authority on a matter not on the agenda, but over which the board has jurisdiction. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Go ahead and open up community forum. Anybody wishing to speak, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm seeing none, so we'll close community forum and bring that back to the board here. And I've got, for some reason, board announcements and reports before the consent calendar, but that's what's on my agenda. So I'm going to ask if there's any board announcements and reports. I'm going to assume not. Great. So we'll move on to consent calendar, which is simply the draft action minutes from last year. Is there a board member or a member of the public that would wish to pull an item or discuss an item? I am seeing none. I'll look for a motion to approve.
I'll move approval of the consent agenda and consent calendar.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbeau, second by Councilmember Newsom. Roll call, please.
Board Member Borbeau?
Yes.
Board Member Newsom?
Yes.
Board Member Darris?
Yes.
Vice Chair Funk?
Yes.
And Chair Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes.
All right. And with that, we will adjourn this meeting of the Public Financing Authority and wish you all a happy new year. And we'll see you on the 24th. Stay safe.